This message is given in the name of Jesus, our Lamb of God, pure and holy. Amen. Well, as you know, the theme for our midweek Lenten sermons is based on our sermon hymn that we just sang, that hymn entitled, Lamb of God, Pure and Holy. Tonight is the second sermon in this series, and we're going to focus on these words from our sermon hymn, the words, who on the cross didst suffer. Jesus died on the cross to save us from our sins. Do you know how the devil wants us to respond to that message? He wants us to say, so what, Pastor? I've heard that message before. I want to hear something different. I want to hear a message that's more practical or more entertaining or by all means more positive. But my friends, we must resist the devil's temptation. Because when we no longer hear the preaching of the cross, we are losing out on the very heart of the gospel message. Now, I will be the first to admit that the preaching of the cross is not real popular today, just as it was not popular at all in Paul's day, almost 2,000 years ago. In our reading from 1 Corinthians, the Apostle Paul says that the message of the cross was a stumbling block to the Jews, and it was foolishness to others. But you know what? At least those people were shocked by the cross. Sadly, in our culture today, people don't always even realize what the cross is saying to us. I mean, we see crosses everywhere, but do we give it a second thought? We see crosses on our church buildings. We see crosses inside our church buildings. In fact, in many cases, whether people are Christian or not, they will wear a cross as a piece of jewelry. But you know, what would you think if you came into the sanctuary and instead of seeing a cross above the altar, in its place you instead saw a sculpture of an electric chair? Or what would you think if you saw somebody wearing a piece of jewelry in the shape of a hangman's noose? Let's face it, we'd be shocked. But what is the cross, after all? The cross is an ancient instrument of Roman public execution. People were nailed to crosses and left to hang there, enduring slow, agonizing death. With that understood, the Christian message is that God Himself was nailed to a cross. That message was a stumbling block to some, and it was foolishness to others. And you know what? The same is still true today. Now, why is that the case? Well, first, it's important for us to understand that God's ways are not our ways. This sinful world has a wisdom of its own, but that wisdom flies in the face of God's wisdom. Modern-day skeptics are always complaining that the Bible doesn't make any sense. They can't figure out how God could have created the world in 6 ordinary days. They can't figure out how some of the miracles could have possibly taken place. They can't figure out why God allows bad things to happen to supposedly good people, so on and so forth. In fact, many in our modern world expect God to behave like some famous intellectual at a respectable cocktail party who patiently fields questions and then gives answers that make perfect sense to our human reason. But my friends, the one true God will not be put in that kind of box. God will not allow us sinners to write His job description. You see, God is far more wise than we will ever be. In fact, Scripture says that no one can know the mind of the Lord or serve as His counselor, for He is the Almighty Creator of heaven and earth. Nevertheless, We prideful sinners still insist on teaching God a thing or two. We insist that God ought to do things our way. But if that's our attitude, then we need to hear these words from Proverbs chapter 14, which read, "There is a way that seems right to a man, but in the end, it leads to death." You don't believe me? Just ask Eve and her husband, Adam. The devil said that they'd be better off if they rejected God and decided for themselves what is good and what is evil. Adam and Eve believed that appealing lie, and they turned their backs on God's wisdom, even though God had warned them that such a choice would end in death. And you know the story. Adam and Eve did die, just as God said. First, they experienced spiritual death. They no longer loved God, they no longer trusted God. And as a result, they would have to also face physical death one day. You see, death is God's sign to us that we are nothing without Him. As we learned last week during the Ash Wednesday service, we learned from Scripture that dust you are, and unto dust you shall return. So when we trust in our own wisdom, all it ever gets us is a plot in the cemetery and an eternity separated from God's love. But God's wisdom is different. God's wisdom leads to life. Eternal life in His love as He intended for us in the beginning. So what is this wisdom of God? Simply put, God in His wisdom was willing to sacrifice Himself to save His enemies. His own enemies who are hell-bent on their own destruction. Jesus willingly went on what appears to be a fool's errand. From eternity, the Father set into motion a plan that would require His only Son to humble Himself in order to save His enemies. Think about it. Jesus took on our human flesh when He was conceived in the womb of the Virgin Mary. Jesus was and He is God in the flesh, but He did not use His power for Himself. The only time He used His power was to serve others. But as for Himself, He allowed Himself to suffer all the things that we sinners must suffer in this broken world. And why on earth would God do that to Himself? The world thinks that this message is utter foolishness. But you know, what is even more foolish to our sinful reason is the fact that Jesus allowed Himself to be nailed to a cross, an instrument of Roman public execution. Let's make this all too common symbol a little more real for us tonight. Imagine being stripped naked and being laid on a rough wooden post. And then your hands and feet are nailed to that post so that you can't get off. Then the cross is raised to a vertical position, and you are left to hang there while people look at you and laugh at you and watch you die a slow, painful death. Jesus allowed Himself to endure that shame and that physical suffering. But even worse than that, Jesus took our sins upon Himself and He suffered God's wrath in our place. You see, even though God is love, He is also just. He must punish sin. And Jesus took that punishment that we should have received so that we could be forgiven. Now, this leads to a question. Why in the world would God do that for us? His enemies. It doesn't make sense. I'm afraid that the preaching of the cross has never gone over very well among those whose hearts have not been opened by the Holy Spirit. I've had to learn that as a pastor over the years, that no matter how how lovingly I preach the gospel is going to offend people if their hearts aren't opened by the Holy Spirit. I remember one time I had a lunch meeting with an agnostic who wanted to figure out what made me tick. And at one point in the conversation, he just said, "Pastor, would you just sum up in a real simple way, what is it you believe as a Christian?" And I said, "Well, simply put, ever since the fall of Adam and Eve, we are conceived in sin. Our sin is so horrible that it took nothing less than the Son of God to deal with it. But you see, that's the good news. Through Jesus, we are forgiven and holy in God's sight. Through Jesus, we can live in God's love forever." That's what I told him. And his response was, "This ends our conversation. I am offended that you would say that my sin is so bad that it would take God's Son to die for it. Because if there were a God, and I'm not saying there is, but if there were a God, he ought to like somebody like me. Because after all, I'm a pretty good person." As Paul said, the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. Paul said that the message was foolishness to the Greeks. The Greeks thought that the message of the cross was foolishness because some of them did not think they were sinners. Doesn't that sound familiar? There are many today who don't believe that they're all that bad. Therefore, the message of Christ crucified is actually an offense to them because they think that, on the whole, they're lovable people. Then again, there were other Greeks who thought the message of the cross was foolishness because they didn't even believe that God existed at all. And we can also find people like that today, even though the Bible says, the fool says in his heart, there is no God. Still other Greeks worshipped false gods of various types. But they were used to these false gods being the kind of gods that demanded people to serve them and grovel to them. That's the kind of gods some Greeks were used to serving. And so when they heard about a God who would die for his enemies, they said, "That's foolishness. We've never served a God like that. That's insane." Now, as far as the Jews of Paul's day, the ones who should have recognized who Jesus was, because Jesus is the fulfillment of the entire Old Testament scripture, sadly, the Jews saw the message of the cross as a stumbling block to their understanding of what they thought the Messiah should be. You see, Jesus taught that he was their promised Savior, but they wanted a Messiah who would save them from their earthly troubles. You see, the Jews wanted Jesus to use his almighty power to destroy the Roman Empire and give Jews a paradise on earth. But when Jesus taught that he had come to save them from their sins by his own suffering and death, well, they didn't want that kind of a Savior. Even Peter was misled by this attitude for a while. Remember our gospel reading? When Jesus told Peter he was going to go and die, Peter said, "No, Lord, that's not going to happen to you." And then Jesus had to say to him, "You do not have in mind the things of God, but the things of men." And you know, we find the same problem in our culture today. The Lamb of God who on the cross did suffer, well, that doesn't sell very well among religious consumers who want to know how God can give them their best life now. Today, people want Jesus to give them worldly peace and prosperity. Today, people want Jesus to be a motivational speaker who gives us principles for successful living. Today, people want Jesus to build up their self-esteem and make them feel happy. Sadly, I'm afraid that we sinners want to hear good advice when what we really need is good news. But my friends, that is precisely why God tells us what we need to hear and not what we want to hear. For example, we need to hear that our sin is so horrible that it took nothing less than the Son of God to deal with it. Now, I know the message of this Lenten season may seem like a downer to our modern ears, but that's okay. You see, we all need to be taken down a few notches. We need to repent of our sin rather than ignoring it or affirming it. In fact, if you are tempted by the devil to think that your sin is no big deal, then look at the cross. Not a bare, empty cross either, but a cross on which hangs the body of our Lord. You see, I have a cross on my office door. You may have noticed it, but have you also noticed that it's not an empty cross? The body of Jesus is on that cross. You see, that cross reminds me how serious my sins are, but that cross all the more reminds me how much God loves me. You see, the reason that God gives us the bad news about our sin is that He wants us to be able to rejoice in the good news about our Savior, the pure and holy Lamb of God who was crucified for us. Jesus' holy body and blood were placed in the scales of God's eternal justice, and the full weight of the guilt of every sinner came down on Jesus. Jesus died for your foolishness and my foolishness. He died for all our worldly wisdom. He died that we might live in His love forever. Now, of course, the sinful world calls the message of the cross weakness and foolishness. But by God's grace, we call the message of the cross strength and wisdom. My friends, God has spoken His wisdom to you tonight. And this wisdom is God's power that calls you to repentance and faith in Jesus, your Lord and Savior. As we heard at the beginning of our second reading, for the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. Jesus is your Lord and Savior. That means you do not need to fear God's wrath when the guilt of your sin weighs you down. God's wisdom has brought you to faith in Jesus, who has washed away the guilt of your sin and has clothed you with His own purity and holiness. When you were baptized, you received all the benefits of Jesus' death and resurrection. And by the power of your baptism, the Holy Spirit now moves you to live a new life of repentance and faith. You know what that means? It means that you do not need to despair when the world thinks that you're foolish and weak for trusting in Jesus and trying to live according to His will. Let's face it, there are times when the people of the world think we're foolish and weak for trusting in Jesus and following Him. But you need not despair if you face mockery or persecution because you're striving to conform your life to God's will. You need not despair, but instead remember these words of God. The foolishness of God is wiser than man's wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than man's strength. Our sermon hymn tells us about the Lamb of God, pure and holy, who on the cross did suffer. The good news is that He suffered and died for you, and He now lives for you. And tonight He says, take, eat, this is my body given for you. Take, drink, this is my blood shed for you. Amen.